It is so good to be here today. It is great upon this first Lord's Day of the new year to see as many pews with people in them. Throughout this country today, men such as myself, those who are preaching the Word of God, or some who even just claim to preach the Word of God, are speaking sermons based upon resolutions. We know that we have just begun a new year, and many of us have set aside certain things that we're going to do, and we want to talk about some of these things, but we want to look at them in a little different way. We want to make a challenge. If you will, turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. We see that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, had written as directed, as are all passages, by the Holy Spirit. He writes to them, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am told that most New Year's resolutions fall by the wayside in an average of 30 days. Now, some people take the stance that I'm not going to make a resolution, that way I won't fail on my resolution. That won't work. We all, when we make resolutions for a new year, have good intentions, but sometimes we cannot seem to alter the behavior that we have so long participated in. This is why diets fail. Oftentimes we think, well, I'm going to diet. I'm going to lose a certain amount of weight this year, and I'm going to do so by altering my diet because I don't like to exercise. And that's okay. We can do that. You can alter your diet and cut out the sweets and cut out the fun stuff to eat. And yes, you can lose some weight. But every time you open the refrigerator door and there's that pumpkin pie. Or every time you walk by the cookie jar and you know that inside are Oreos to go along with the glass of milk that you have to have after supper. It's hard. But diets fail. Exercise regimens are abandoned. It's not fun to get up an hour early or 30 minutes early and go down, if you have such a facility in your home, or to go somewhere to a gym and to get on a piece of equipment and perspire. Whatever it is that we've determined will be the new normal, it becomes the should have been or the should be. And we therefore revert back to the previous behavior with which we have become so accustomed. It happens. Every year. I do. I go on a diet every year. And by the end of the year, I need to go on another one. But that's what happens. But when we resolve to change, we can basically do so by altering our behavior one day at a time. I have talked to people who have had a problem in times past with alcohol. In fact, some who will actually admit that they are alcoholics. And the ones who are honest will tell you, they're always going to be alcoholics. And they refrain from drinking one day at a time. Same thing with any other habit. When we can successfully continue a specific behavior for 30 days, then I think we can look forward to the change that can become the new normal. Therefore, we need to accept a 30-day challenge and seek to make changes that will make each of us a better Christian. I suspect if you had a list of resolutions, that if you did not put on that list of resolutions, I want to in 2019 become a better Christian, you should have. If you did, good for you. However, how are we going to meet that goal? So I have before me this morning a list of several areas wherein we can change and become better. I want to look at each one of these, and I want to see if one or more of these are where we are lacking, and where we are willing to take them on and accomplish. A 30-day challenge. I challenge myself that I will feed myself and my family with God's Word throughout the month of January. I want you to, in your mind, think about the previous 12 months. And I want you to average how many times within each month, or look at the average per month, that you spent time studying the Word of God. When we challenge to feed ourselves and our family with God's Word throughout the month of January, our home will become and be a center of meditation on the Bible. On what do we meditate? Look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And as we look at that, as we read this passage, we need to ask ourselves, as we look at this challenge, what is it that we meditate on? What is it that we focus on? What is it the primary drive for our lives? The psalmist was directed to write, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Look at verse 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." You know, there are a lot of people that suffer with insomnia or various forms thereof. And when they get up, what do? They get up in the middle of the night. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They don't want to disturb anybody else in the house. They turn on the TV, and they turn the volume down low, or something of that nature. How many of us meditate on the Word of God in such a situation? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 is a passage that's very familiar to those of us who are members of the body of Christ and anyone who is a student of the Bible. And it tells us there, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. Know and understand that unless one studies the Word of God, they cannot be approved unto God. And if they study and they show themselves approved unto God, they will be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, because they will rightly divide the Word of God." They will look at the Word of God, and oftentimes when we look at various passages, we'll see in one passage something that seems to contradict something in another passage. The fact of the matter is, when that happens, that you are unclear of the meaning in one passage or both of them. And we need to do a little more digging, a little more study. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, we see that this was the very thing that Jesus derived strength from when he was tempted of the devil to turn stones unto bread. And every time in which Jesus was tempted, his response initially was the exact same thing. The secondary part of the response was relative to the particular temptation. But it is written in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." If you stop and think about it, yes, it takes bread. It takes physical sustenance for these bodies to continue. But what does it take for our soul to continue? It takes spiritual sustenance. The challenge: I will feed myself and my family with God's Word throughout the month of January. Will you accept the challenge? Another challenge: I will pray like I have never prayed before throughout the month of January. How many times in a week, or how many times in a month, do you pray to God? And I don't mean opening up a canned prayer, muttering a few words, the same ones that you say all the time. I mean really earnestly. Kneel before the throne of grace. Commune with God in prayer. Pour out your heart to Him. How often do we do this? If we do, our home will be a center of sacrifices offered before the throne of God. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, we see some terminology here which shows perhaps how prayers should be viewed. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 20 elders, 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. We know that Revelation was written in symbolic language. But we know that these prayers of the saints are those things which go up before God. In Revelation chapter 8 and verse 4, we see there also in that same book written in symbols, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And then we need to go back to the Bible, back into another place, where we can see that God has directed that the Christian spend time in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is a real good passage for all Christians to know and to abide by. It says, pray without ceasing. We need to redouble our efforts in prayer. Will we accept the challenge? Another challenge is that I will be a son or daughter of encouragement throughout the month of January and not a negative Ned or negative Nancy. There are those who seem to live in the negative. There are those who seem to focus upon those things which are painful or sorrowful or those sort of things. If indeed we accept the challenge and become a son or daughter of encouragement, our homes will be not a haven of negativity and undue criticism, but of optimism and of love. How many times do people in our homes hear negative things about brethren? How many times in our homes do people hear positive things about our brethren? In Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, we read about one. In fact, he was called the son of consolation. Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why did he do so? For the encouragement of the brethren that had not. For the benefit of people that had not. And as the apostle Paul was directed to write to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, he did so as directed by the Spirit and said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. In other words, we need to build our brethren up. We need to encourage one another. And as you look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, again, the apostle Paul is the penman, the Spirit is the author. And we see as he's writing to these brethren that therefore be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. What is he saying? We don't need to look upon our brother in such a way as to discourage him. It continues on and says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The thing that we do for people, the encouragement that we provide for them, builds them up, lifts them up, encourages them. Perhaps we can encourage each other to be here, to pray, to participate in many different ways. Are you going to accept the challenge? Another challenge is, and this is one that affects every person in this room, the challenge, I will leave behind my sinful habits throughout the month of January. Oh, preacher, no, you ain't talking to me. I don't have sinful habits. We all have things that we do in which we sin. And all of us have habits. The reason I say that is because any habit or any activity which prevents the Christian from serving God is sinful. It may not be inherently something wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. There's nothing wrong with having time with family. There's nothing wrong with fishing, bowling, golf, all of these kind of things. But if it prevents the Christian from serving God and serving God acceptably, it is sinful. Oftentimes, we find ourselves mired down by the things of life. When Jesus called people to serve Him, to follow Him, they began to make excuses. All kinds of excuses. And the world's full of excuses. Work is probably one of the excuses that Christians abuse, more than any other. We can lay aside work for a handful of hours a week to be in attendance. We'll talk about a symbol here in just a minute. We can leave aside work to study, to encourage, to pray, all of these things. It is time to place those things in the past where they should have been left long ago, and with the help of the Lord, we can do so. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, we find a passage that is hard to read. It is hard for many people to understand. It is hard for many people to grasp the concept of what the Apostle Paul is being directed by the Spirit to say. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do." Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Let's finish reading it. "If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." What is he saying? He's saying that within each and every one of us, there is a battle going on. Oftentimes it's depicted as with a little angel on the right shoulder and a little devil on the left shoulder. Each of one of them have access to an ear. And one of them says, "Hey, it's all right. Go ahead. Ain't nobody looking." The other one says, "What does God say about that?" That's the way it is depicted. But within us there is a battle. Occasionally all will stumble. Romans 3:23 covers that for everyone. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we serve the law of God with our minds," listen to this, it's important. "If we serve the law of God with our minds, our flesh will follow. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." We got to keep our minds focused on God and doing His will. Will we accept that challenge? You know, some people think that giving up a bad habit will cause them to suffer. "I'll be the most miserable person in the world." Well, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, we see that Paul was talking about a different kind of sufferings than perhaps giving up a bad habit. But the application is there. He said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." What are we willing to give up in order to gain heaven? A better question is, and the Lord asked it, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" For a lot of people, it's not much. If we can give up habits that compete with our service to God, we can indeed become conquerors. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, the Apostle Paul was directed to write to those brethren, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Notice this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is he saying? He's saying there's absolutely no force, no individual, no army, no anything that can separate between you and God. But what's not mentioned here? You yourself can throw away the benefit of being a child of God. Will you leave these things behind? Will we accept the challenge? Another challenge. I will assemble with the saints for every period of Bible study and worship possible throughout the month of January. I am encouraged today. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we have today here 30 people. And some people might say, 30 people, is that all? When we average about 22, yeah, it's great. We do have folks from out of country, out of town, who will not be with us next week. But we have folks here today who won't be here tonight, who may not be here next week. And we know that health sometimes gets in the way. But if we will accept the challenge to assemble with the saints for every period of Bible study and worship possible throughout the month of January, our home and its issues will not draw me away from that which is most important in my life. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, and you knew I was going there. As the apostle was directed to write to the Hebrew brethren, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How exciting would it be if every time the doors were open, we had to ask people to slide down so we can find a place in the pew. How exciting and how encouraging would it be if we had to contemplate a building program? We ought to be contemplating a building program every day. When we go out, teach the gospel, convert people, and baptize them into Christ. But physically, if we had to expand this building, how exciting would that be? Verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There were some then that were forsaking the assembling of themselves together, and there are some that do so today. Will you accept the challenge? Another challenge. I will make a conscious effort to worship in spirit and truth throughout the month of January. If we do this, our home will be a place of preparation for our mind to come into the presence of our King. Oftentimes, I'm afraid that many Christians prepare themselves for worship when they walk through the door of the building. That shouldn't be. We should be prepared before we leave home. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, our Lord spoke words which were true in every dispensation of time. Under every law that God has delivered to man, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is our mindset when we come together? What is going through our mind as the Lord's Supper is being distributed among the brethren? Are we consciously thinking about what that supper represents? The pain, the suffering, the terrible, awful treatment that our Lord was willing to undergo so you and I could have hope. When the songs are being sung, what are we thinking about? Are we noticing the words as well as the melody? A lot of times people say, I can't sing. I use that excuse till I wore it out, and then they say, nah, you can sing. You just got to try. My excuse today many times is, you know, I don't know music. I have to memorize the tune. sometimes it escapes me right at the time I blow the pitch pipe. And I open my mouth and I look like a fish because I have no idea what's coming out. And that's embarrassing. But what's my mind on? I guarantee you this, it would happen a whole lot more often if my mind's on something other than worship, gathering together, communicating the Word of God, not only from the pulpit, but also in singing songs. In Psalms 122 and verse 1, we see what the Spirit had the psalmist write. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. We should be glad. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, the Apostle Paul, dealing with a number of issues there with the church at Corinth, we find that he was directed to write, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. And people, don't even stop and think about what that means. Listen, if we sing, pray, preach, teach, lead, and you name it, with the wrong attitude, the wrong mindset, then we're not going to be pleasing to God. Are we going to accept the challenge? Another challenge. Here's one that we need to consider. I will have at least one brother or sister in Christ in my home in the month of January. Now, before I elaborate on this, we need to understand that the Bible talks about being hospitable. If indeed we accept this challenge, our home would be the center of hospitality that reflects the love of the Savior. And when we get together, whether it be at a meal out somewhere, or in my home or in your home, what's our focus going to be on? Oftentimes, the focus is talking about the other brethren. We should be talking about God. We should be talking about God's Word. I'll guarantee you, if you wanted to come to my home, I'd have to ask my wife about this, because we'd have to clean up first. That means more work on me. But if you wanted to come to our home and do a Bible study, it would be no problem whatsoever. I'm joking about having to ask my wife, because, yes, she would be the first to say, let's do it. People don't want to get together and talk about God and talk about the Bible. I have heard three people in the last 2 weeks say something almost verbatim. I wish more people wanted to participate in Bible study. And those three people, I didn't have to think, just not even for a second, what's on their mind? Because I knew what was on their mind. They love God, and they are willing to participate in these things. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, those brethren were told, let brotherly love continue. That is one way of showing that brotherly love, but it also says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, we're not talking about angelic beings, but messengers of God. But will we accept that challenge? The final challenge today. I'm going to go back over them so that we'll have them in our mind in case you didn't jot them down. But the final challenge here today is, I will not simply do more, but be more throughout the month of January. Remember what I said about continuing in an activity or a situation or a series of situations for 30 days. If we do that for the month of January, strive to be more effective in the kingdom, be more knowledgeable in the Word of God, be more communicative with God in prayer, be more encouraging to our brethren. Then I can work on being so for the rest of my year and the rest of my life. What is needed most is a renovation of my heart. my mind. I don't know Latin any more than I know Greek, but I've been found a phrase, esse quam videre. It's a Latin phrase, which means to be rather than to seem. I'll leave you with this one scripture before we extend the gospel invitation. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul, directed to write to the brethren there in the churches of Galatia, that area, and all of the congregations that were scattered out among them, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ gave himself on Calvary's cross. He gave himself so that you and I could have hope for eternity. You go out on the street today and you ask people, do you hope for eternal life? Those who believe in eternal life are going to say, oh yeah, I hope for eternal life. They cannot maybe tell you why they hope, but the Christian can. It's because many of those Christians would be willing and able to accept these challenges. Let's run them down one more time. Challenge number one, I will feed myself and my family with God's Word through the entire month of January. Will you do it? Challenge number two, I will pray like I have never prayed before through the month of January. Will you accept the challenge? Number three, I will be a son or daughter of encouragement throughout the entire month of January. Will you accept that challenge? Number four, I will leave behind my sinful habits throughout the month of January. Nobody's asking you to do something that's impossible to do. Will you do it? Will you accept the challenge? Challenge number five, I will assemble with the saints for every period of worship wherein it is possible for me to be there. Will you accept that challenge? Number six, I will make a conscious effort to worship in spirit and in truth. It's a challenge that we need to undertake. Will you do it? Number seven, I will have at least one brother or sister in my home in the month of January for encouragement, for edification, for reading, for studying, for Bible work. Will you do it? And finally, I will not simply do more, but be more. Quite a few challenges there. Not saying that everyone needs or should take on all of them at one time. One of the worst things to do with resolutions is to resolve 30 things because you're not going to get them all done. But look at these. Think about these. Contemplate these. Those that are children of God need to take on these challenges. Those who are not the children of God, they need to be children of God. God's Word is laid out for us in a very simple manner, the way in which one is to be saved. People have been able to read into God's Word for nearly 2,000 years now. The one plan that God set from the foundation of the world that came into fruition after the ascension of Christ and the Spirit being poured out upon those men on the day of Pentecost, AD 33. It's a very simple plan. One is to hear the Word of God. Romans 10:14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? One must also believe. John 5:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. But it takes more than hearing and believing. One must also repent. The Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, persecuted the church. But after his conversion, after he was baptized into Christ, in verse Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. He showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Friends, he accepted that challenge. One must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. The first part says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." And one must be baptized into Christ. AD 33, that Sunday morning, Peter and the 11 stood up. They delivered the message given to them by the Spirit. The people, when they heard that they had crucified the Son of God, had a challenge placed before them. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Acts 2:37. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of eternal life." And then one is to remain faithful until death. That's why we need these resolutions. That's why we need these challenges. Because we all need to strive to remain faithful, having become a child of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." And if you're here and you are a child of God, you have obeyed the gospel, you've put on Christ in baptism, contacted the blood here in the water grave of baptism, and you've allowed sin to enter into your life and bog you down, you have a challenge before you. The challenge is to return to Him in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." We have a series of challenges before us. The first challenge is become a child of God. The second is if you are separated from God by sin, return to Him. And then we can address these other ones that we've mentioned this day. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, as we stand and open our songbooks, singing the first and second verse of the selected song, won't you come?